If you have your Bibles, let's go to the book of John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and verse 1. And I've brought about six things to bring to you today, so we're just going to be here through the afternoon. No, not really. Everybody's thinking about chili now, chili cheese fries, white chili, red chili, brown chili, green chili. I don't know how many colors they have. They used to have green ketchup. Maybe they make a green chili. I don't know. Anyway, John chapter 5, verse 1, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. That's a long time. 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. I want to talk to us for a few minutes from this subject. I have no man. I have no man. Let's pray that God would help us today. Touch us through His Word. God, we pray for Your help. We pray for Your anointing. Touch us today, God. Let Your Word have free course into our spirits. Thank You, God. Thank You, God. Thank You, God. Oh, God, I'm hungry for You. I'm hungry, God. I want to hear from heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated this morning in Jesus' name. Praise God. I'm glad that my wife and Claire's with us. And Claire's my only child, my only girl now to not have a love letter written to her. And so it's getting sad. Emmy and Eliza just got her first love letter written to her a few days ago. A boy in Hutchinson Church brought me a little note after service, and I didn't know if I should be mad at him or laugh and think it's cute. And so Claire's, she's my last little girl that doesn't have a love note written to her yet. Amen. I hope it lasts a long time. I hope it doesn't happen for a while. Praise God. This text tells us about the pool of Bethesda. And the Bible said there was a great multitude there at this pool. And this multitude consisted of impotent, blind, halt, and withered people. And when you look at some of the definitions to break it down to an easier understanding of these conditions, it would be something like this: unable to take effective action, helpless, powerless, disabled by illness or injury, no vision, limp, crippled, paralyzed in the hand, or paralyzed in the foot. These were the cases at the pool of Bethesda. Severe cases, so bad that these individuals would live at this porch. They would live at this area, this pool of Bethesda, and they would camp out and reside there. It was their residency. It was their home. And they were there waiting, amen, for the angel to trouble the waters, to receive a miracle. There were five porches at this pool of Bethesda. And I believe it could be that there were places with some shield, overhead protection, probably from sun or rain, weather. And they would live in these porches by the pool of Bethesda. They were waiting for a certain season where the angel of God would come and trouble the waters. There was a supernatural occurrence going on at the pool of Bethesda. Amen. I was fortunate about a couple years ago now to go to Jerusalem with some people. Thank God it worked out. And I remember standing at the pool of Bethesda, the place where they believed that was. And I believe it was the talk of the town. It was a phenomenon at that time. People were talking about it, that there's an angel that randomly comes at certain times and troubles the waters, and people are getting healed at the pool of Bethesda. One commentary said that when the angel would come and trouble the waters, that the water would start bubbling up. Maybe like one of those fancy jacuzzis, and everything starts. It wasn't a heated pool, I don't believe. They weren't that spoiled, but there was bubbles coming up as the angel was troubling the waters. I don't know if they saw the angel or if the angel was invisible, but we know that the water was stirred and troubled, and bubbles, whatever, things were happening in the water. And the Bible said that only the first person to step in would receive a healing. There was a competitive race taking place at the pool of Bethesda. I believe that these individuals were living as close as they possibly could to the water, camping out as close as they could, within reach. Amen. I don't know if these residents viewed each other as a threat or a competitor. Perhaps if there was hatred or animosity, and maybe they didn't speak to one another because they all wanted the same thing, to get in the water first. Or it is possible that they were all hoping for the best for each other, secretly pulling for one another. Amen. Encouraging one another. Maybe they felt compassion for their fellow residents. Maybe they developed friendships and bonds and relationships. We don't know some of these things, but we do know that when the angel troubled the waters and the waters were bubbling up and stirred, that in that moment it became a competitive race. Hallelujah. In that moment, personal need outweighed compassion, and personal desperation was greater than friendships or relationships. And in that moment, there was a striving. There was a jockeying for position as these individuals were trying to beat the one beside them and to be the first to the water. Amen. And I've read this in the past, and I've imagined or pictured a speedy race or people moving in haste. But I don't believe it was that way, because these were individuals that could barely walk and barely function. Some of them could not even function. And so even though it was a competitive race, I believe it was a very slow thing. And individuals were dragging a foot and trying to move and trying to get themselves up. Hallelujah. It would seem as if it was in slow motion because of physical infirmities and issues. And so this race is going on, and they're moving slow, and it's pain. Every step is painstaking, and they're trying to get there first. And when the first one would step into the water, amen, there was an instant healing in that moment. And this individual that had infirmities would stand upright immediately in the water, healed, hallelujah, praising God, probably raising their hands and rejoicing in worship. And they could leap, and they could walk, and they could run. And there was a rejoicing taking place in the water and out of the water. We don't know if the other residents joined in the celebration, or if they were envious or sorrowful or devastated that somebody else got the miracle and not me. Hallelujah. We don't know if the others celebrated with them or refused to speak to them. Hallelujah. But one got the miracle. And everybody else, even though some were just one step away and they were so close, only one would get the miracle. And the others would have to turn around, Brother Worse, dejected and sorrowful. And they'd put so much energy and striving and walking with being paralyzed and whatever the issue. And they would crawl back and struggle back to their place in the porches and lay back down and hope and wait for the next time. Hallelujah. I haven't lost anybody yet, have I? Amen. Hallelujah. And we don't know, this is what's going on at the Pool of Bethesda. We don't know how long this has been going on. A month, 6 months, a year. We don't know how long this has been happening, but this is the picture of life at the Pool of Bethesda. And at some point, our text tells us that Jesus shows up at the Pool of Bethesda. The angel had been showing up, but it was different this day because it wasn't an angel, but God showed up on this day. Hallelujah. And Jesus notices this man that has been lame for a long time, in a condition for a long time. And he asked him the question, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Hallelujah. This man did not know that this was Jesus, God manifest in the flesh, talking to him. He doesn't know who he's speaking to. And his response back is, he says, "I have no man." He said, "While I am coming, I get up and I struggle and I try to move and try to drag my foot and try to jockey for position, but right before I can get in the water, while I'm coming, there's somebody else that gets in first." And he said, "I have no man that can help me. I have no man that can assist me and be a strength and a crutch and to help pull me along quicker to get in the water." Hallelujah. I've heard this preached in the past, and I've heard different opinions on this statement when this man made the statement, "I have no man." Hallelujah. And I've heard it viewed as an excuse. Amen. And I'm not here to discredit that or to wrestle or argue with anybody today. Just bear with me today. I've heard it viewed as an excuse that he couldn't get up and he didn't have the desire that others have. He didn't have the passion that others had, and he wanted some other man to just do everything for him. But just allow me to preach this the way God gave it to me. Amen. And that's one angle to look at it, as though it was an excuse. But just today here, I want to use this as though it was an implication that there were others at the Pool of Bethesda that had a man. Praise God. There were others at the pool that had a man that was there to help them get into the water first. Hallelujah. I hope this is all right today. I want to view it as an implication that there were many recipients of miracles at the Pool of Bethesda. And the reason why they got in the water first, the reason why they were the recipient and no one else was that day, was because they had a man. They had somebody to help them get in the water. These were individuals with cases that were so severe that a strong, well-bodied person would camp out and stay and wait and live at the Pool of Bethesda to help a loved one, to help somebody they cared about, to assist them to get into the water first. Praise God. Amen. I believe that there were individuals at this Pool of Bethesda that had a dad that cared about them so much that this father would sit there, lay there, live at the porch all night, all day, and stay there with their child, waiting to help assist them to get into the waters first. I believe there were some that had a brother, some that had a mom, a sister, an aunt, an uncle, a friend, a loved one, an acquaintance, somebody that would sacrifice their personal time and put everything else in their life on the sideline, hallelujah, and give their life to help somebody else to receive a miracle. Hallelujah. I believe there were some at the Pool of Bethesda that came from well-to-do families that had the finances to hire servants around the clock. Praise God. Amen. Hiring servants and on different shifts. And this servant would come and live with this individual and stay by them, stay all night, stay all day, whatever their shift was. And then another servant would come and relieve them and just there waiting for the opportunity to help. Amen. To help get that loved one to the water first. Hallelujah. Whatever it takes for a healing, whatever it takes for our loved one to be delivered from this condition. Praise God. I believe that the way for many to their blessing and their healing at the Pool of Bethesda, amen, the way that they received their miracle was that they had a man. Hallelujah. They had assistance. Hallelujah. To get to a place they could never get on their own. Amen. To get to a place that they could never crawl or walk and arrive by themselves. We know there was a supernatural element to the healings at this pool. Yes, there was an angel. There was a part to this that was divine and supernatural. But there was also a human element. Hallelujah. Amen. There were some that had more strength and ability and agility than others. There was a human element. And there were others that had a man. Amen. A political edge. Oh, am I making sense today? There were some that had the right connections. They had the right political help and the right name and the right surroundings. And hallelujah, that there would be somebody to stay there with them, to live there with them, and to help them to get the miracle. Praise God. Hallelujah. I believe there was a lot of people living at the Pool of Bethesda that did not need a miracle in their life. Amen. Camping out, sleeping on the porch, outside, inconvenient, and they didn't even need a miracle. They were just there to assist somebody else. Hallelujah. I was thinking about some of this, and I think I may have came up with a word. I need to look in the dictionary. I don't even know if it's a real word or not, but the word that came to me was an assistor. Y'all know what I mean by that? I don't know if that's a word or not. Assistor, not a sister. I've got a sister, not a brother or sister, but an assistor. Somebody that's just there to assist somebody else. Am I making sense? Hallelujah. I believe all around these porches at the Pool of Bethesda, there were many assistors that were living there. Hallelujah. Holding the hand of a loved one and watching the waters. Just waiting, anticipating, watching, looking for the troubling of the waters. Hallelujah. They were strong. They didn't need a miracle. They had a lot of other things they could have been doing. But there was such a burden, such a desire in their life to assist somebody to a blessing and a miracle. Hallelujah. That they would live there and stay there countless hours, countless days, there to assist somebody else to be delivered. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I see these assistors, amen, strong, well-bodied people watching the waters, holding the hand of a loved one. Amen. Poised, ready. And as soon as the bubble started coming up, if I had these young guys in here, I'd make a fool out of them and have them help me do a demonstration. They're not here today, and I'm not going to pick on the grown-ups. I'll get in trouble. Praise God. You can get away with stuff with the young people. You can do anything. You can have them lay on the ground, whatever. Some of us, we get on the ground, we may not get up before this service is over. Oh, hallelujah. And these assistors, as soon as the water started bubbling, they grabbed their loved one and they started dragging them. It was a slow process. It was just dead weight, dead body weight, trying to drag that loved one and groaning and come on. And it was a race. Hallelujah. And right over here is an individual without an assister. They have no man. They have nobody. And they're moving real slow. But over here, there's somebody with an assistor. And they get in front of them. And they're winning the race. And they're in first place. And the assistor would drag that individual to the water and dip their toes down in the water. And as soon as that individual stepped into the water, immediately they were made whole. Hallelujah. And the assistor didn't get a miracle. They didn't receive a miracle. But the assistor praised God. And the assistor rejoiced and said, "Oh, I praise you, God. Thank you for using my hands. Thank you for using my energies. Oh, I feel like preaching for a minute today. Thank you, God, for using my hands. I played a part. I had a part in somebody else's life being changed and being delivered." Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. The assistor did not work the miracle. The assistor did not heal the condition. The assistor did not do the work. But the assistor just took somebody by the hand and assisted. They didn't work the miracle, but they assisted in the miracle. Oh, I'm telling you today, we don't have the power to change anybody's life. Hey, brother, we can't deliver anybody. We can't set the captive free. But we know where the troubled waters are. Hallelujah. Come on, we know where the altar is. We know where the sanctuary is. We know where the water gets bubbled. We know where something supernatural happens. Hallelujah. And we can be an assistor. Amen. To take somebody by the hand and bring them to the house of God. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, it feels good to get an assist. Has anybody ever got an assist before? I'm not talking about sports. I'm talking about when you see somebody getting baptized in Jesus' name. There it is. I'm looking around for God. Amen. Have you ever seen somebody get baptized in Jesus' name and you didn't do the work? Praise God. You didn't make anything happen. But you know there's that thrill in your soul that I got an assist. There's an assist right there. Hallelujah. It's kind of like basketball. My brother's a ball hog, and so I had to learn how to pass. My brother never let me shoot, so I had to pass all the time. And so, man, I like that feeling of getting an assist. Praise God. I like that feeling of coming down to the hoop and kind of just dropping off a no-look pass. And somebody else gets the ball, Brother Worse, and they score. Amen. I didn't score. I didn't put more points on my team's side. Am I making sense today? Hallelujah. I didn't help us get more points on this. I didn't change the scoreboard, but I got an assist. Hallelujah. I got some. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you. Amen. God needs assistors in this hour. God needs people that are well-bodied and strong. Come on, God needs people that are full of the Holy Ghost. God needs people that are on fire. God needs people that are strong, that you can assist somebody else and take somebody else by the hand and bring them to the house of God. Woo! Hallelujah. We need assistors that can make a difference. Oh, God, I wonder how many of us are here today in the church. Amen. And we can say that somebody else assisted. Oh, hallelujah. I was raised in the church, but I'm thankful my dad, as a 20-year-old in Los Angeles, California, with a ponytail down his back and drugs in his pocket and drugs in his car and drugs in his bedroom. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. But there was a young man in the church on fire for God, Danny McGee, full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And he got connected to my dad, and he started talking to him, knocking on his door, taking him out to lunch, hanging out with him, bringing him to the house of God. And the day came ashamed that my dad got baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. And God set him free from marijuana and set him free from pills and alcohol. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Amen. Why? Because there was an assistor. There was somebody that took him by the hand and said, I'm here to assist you. I'm here to take you to church. I'm here to be your friend. I'm here to take you to a place where the waters are troubled. Oh, I'm telling you, amen, if you would get on fire for God. Oh, I feel like telling somebody here today, if you would plant your feet in the church 100%, get full of the Holy Ghost, put the world behind you, and sell out 100%. There's a whole bunch of people that's going to come to church and follow you. Come on. There's a whole bunch of others that you're going to bring with your hand, and they're going to get baptized in Jesus. Come on, somebody. Come on, I'm telling you, you can be a soul winner. You can help somebody else get saved. You can help somebody else get delivered. But you got to get strong first. Come on, you got to get full of the Holy Ghost first. You got to make up your mind first. You got to sell out to God. Woo, I want to be an assistor. Hallelujah. I want people around me to have a man. I want to make a difference. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Woo. Praise God. The people around us, they need a man. Come on, somebody. Our unsaved loved ones, our friends, our acquaintances, people around us, their lives are messed up. They need a man. They need a man. They need a woman that's on fire for God. They need a man. Amen. Hallelujah. That's got their life right. They need a man that's strong, that's not wishy-washy, that's not in and out, up and down. Amen. I'm telling you, our world, the people around us, our co-workers, they need a man that's sold out, that's full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's got the world out of their life, that's got sin out of their life. Come on, somebody. They need a man. They need an assistor. Woo! We'll never win somebody to God when we're playing games. Halfway in the church, halfway in the world. Oh, it's not going to work. Our world needs a man. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. When God looked down upon the world to judge the world with the flood, to destroy man because of sin. Hallelujah. The scripture said Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Amen. And Noah sold out and started laboring, building that ark. And after many, 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 many decades, many years, the waters came. The floods began to rise. Hallelujah. And everybody in the world perished. But Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Man, I don't know why he named his sons that, but he did anyhow. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. They didn't die like everybody else died. Shem, Ham, and Japheth had a man. Oh, come on, somebody. They had a man that walked with God. Shem, Ham, and Japheth had a man that heard the voice of God. Hallelujah. Shem, Ham, and Japheth and their wives and their kids were delivered and they were saved. Hallelujah. They were protected from the judgment because they had a man that got a hold of something with God. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm preaching to somebody. Amen. If you would be a man that would walk with God, if you would be a man that would hear from God, if you would be a man that would be 100%, amen, made up in your mind, hallelujah, God would spare your children. God would save your loved ones. Come on. It was because Noah walked with God that his children were saved. His children were connected to a miracle. Hallelujah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. They found themselves in a place of preservation. Everybody else was dying, but they were in a place of preservation from the judgment. And the only way they could get to that place, they couldn't get there on their own. They could never arrive to that place of preservation from judgment on their own. But they had a man. They had something that nobody else had. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. When God sent hellfire and brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah because of all the wickedness and the sin. Hallelujah. There was a man named Lot that had no business being in Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot was stubborn, cold-hearted. Hallelujah. Rebellious, foolish, playing games with perversion and wickedness. He should have perished with everybody else. Oh, but outside the city, up on the bluffs, out on the edges of the city, there was a man. Lot had a man in his life. There was an Uncle Abraham that was out on the edge of the city, travailing before God. Oh, God, please. I've got loved ones down there in that city. My nephews down there. My nieces. My family. Those girls. Lot's babies. Oh, God, would you please spare? If there's just 40 righteous in the city. You all know that scripture. Amen. And God said, I'll spare the 40 righteous before I send judgment. And Lot went on to say, if there's 30 righteous, if there's 20 righteous. Amen. It was intercessory prayer. Amen. Intercessory prayer. Abraham was interceding. Amen. For his loved ones, for his family around him. Hallelujah. And when the judgment was to come upon Sodom, God sent angels to Sodom. Amen. To tell Lot to get out of that city. Judgment's coming. I'm telling you, Lot didn't deserve that. It was the mercy of God. Amen. That the angels would even come and warn him and tell him, you better get out of here. Everybody's fixing to die in this city with the judgment. And when the angels told Lot that, he was so hard-hearted and so stubborn that the Bible said he lingered. He wouldn't even listen to the angels. Hallelujah. But because of that uncle that would not stop interceding and praying, the angels didn't leave Lot. But in Lot's stubbornness and foolishness, the angels picked him up forcibly by the hand and they carried him out and they dragged him out of the city. And when Lot and his family came out of the city, they looked back and the judgment was falling and everybody was being destroyed and killed in Sodom. Hallelujah. You see, Lot had something that nobody else in Sodom had. Lot had a man. Come on, Lot had a man in his life that would walk with God, that would hear from God, that would build an altar, that would get in a place and say, God, save my loved ones, save my family, don't let them be lost. Oh, I feel like telling somebody, come on, if you would get real with God, if you would build an altar with God, amen, God will spare your loved ones. God can save your family. God can make up a hedge. Oh, I want to encourage those here today with lost loved ones. Hallelujah, lost loved ones, lost children. They may be lost today. They may be far from God. But I'm telling you, they have somebody that all those other kids in the clubs, whatever, wherever they're at, alcohol, your loved one has something that the masses around them do not have. They have a man. They have a woman. They have somebody. Is anybody hearing me today? Come on, your loved one has somebody. It doesn't matter where they're at and what they're doing and how messed up they are. They have something that those around them do not have. They have a man. They have somebody that hears from God. Somebody, I'm telling you, you need to intercede and build altars for your lost loved ones. They don't have to be destroyed in the judgment. They don't have to be lost for eternity. Oh, but because they have a man that talks with God, God can hear that prayer and work a miracle. Woo, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Why don't we slip up a hand to the Lord right now for a minute? Oh, God. I love you, God. I praise you, God. Have your way today, God. Oh, Jesus, use me today, God. Oh, I want to be that man. Come on, the Bible says, the Lord said, I sought for a man. I sought for a man that could stand in the gap and make up the hedge. Come on, the people around you in your life, they need you. They're depending on you. Come on, victories and revivals and deliverance can happen through you. They just need a man. Oh, I've seen families that were so bound by sin and drugs, alcohol. I've seen, Brother Worse, all it took was one man. A daddy, a husband. Just one man that would come to the altar. Say, God, I give you everything. I lay my life on the altar, God. I'm changing my life, God. I'm going to get the Holy Ghost. I'm going to live for you. I'm putting everything behind. And all it took was one man. And that mama, that wife came in the church. And those children that were bound. Amen. All kinds of chaos. All it took was one man. Hallelujah. Getting a hold of God. And standing in the gap and making up a hedge. Hallelujah. And that one man was able to be an assistor. That one man was able to put his hands on loved ones and say, come on, we're going to the house of God. We're going to the pool of Bethesda. The angels troubling the waters there. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jairus' daughter should have died in her bed. Oh, but she had a man. Hallelujah. She had a dad that would go out in the streets and run. Hallelujah. Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? I gotta find him. Where's he at? Amen. She had a man while she was dying in bed. She had a man. There were others that died in the bed that had no dad that could run in the streets and find Jesus. But Jairus' daughter had a man. Woo! Hallelujah. The sick of the palsy should not have got his miracle when the house was packed out. Oh, God, man, there's a good spirit here today. The house was packed out. Nobody could come in. Jesus is teaching and preaching in the house, and people are trying to get their sick, the loved ones and those that with diseases, and everybody's sick and disease is trying to get to Jesus, and they're trying to press into the house. And nobody can get in the house. It's too packed. But the sick of the palsy had a man that would take him to the roof of the house. Woo, hallelujah. And start cutting a hole in the roof. He probably had more than one man. He probably had two or three or four men. You see, the sick of the... There was a lot of people that didn't get a miracle that day because the house was too packed. The odds were stacked against the sick, amen, the diseased. But the sick of the palsy had a man that would take him to the roof and cut a hole. I'm telling you, amen. Come on, when a man has a made-up mind, I'm going to assist. I'm going to help somebody else. I'm going to help somebody else get saved. I'm going to help my house get saved. Come on, when a man has a made-up mind, when a man has a burden, when a man has a passion, when a woman has a passion for God, then I've got to help somebody else. Woo! I'm telling you, when you get full of the Holy Ghost and you get a burden for souls, It's not about you anymore. It's not about me anymore. I'm telling you, life, the devil of life wants to get us so consumed with our own life and our own world and our own struggles and our own battles that we're living life just beating the air. Amen. Just fighting for ourselves. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, Jesus said, he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Oh, hallelujah. You got to put your life on the altar of sacrifice. You got to lay your life down. And then you got to be an assistor. God wants to use you and make you a man that changes other people's lives. Oh, come on, somebody. Hallelujah. God wants us to step out of our world and get out of our life. And he wants to use our hands. Woo, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm telling you, there's a lot of cities that have no man. Hallelujah. There's a lot of cities that don't have a church like this. There's a lot of cities that have no pastor, no man of God, no church family. They have no man that's full of the Holy Ghost that gets down on their knees and says, God, save the lost and the hurting, the bound, the weary, the depressed. A lot of cities have no man. But thank God, I'm telling you, Augusta is blessed. Oh, does anybody feel that way today? Augusta has a man. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, Augusta has more than one man and more than one woman. Augusta has a man, hallelujah, that intercedes. Augusta has a man that builds altars. Augusta has a man that can take people to troubled waters. Hallelujah. A lot of places of employment have no man. How many businesses and corporations don't have one individual that's full of the Holy Ghost that knows Acts 2:38, that knows the truth? And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. How many businesses have no man that knows that? Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, I don't know where you work. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, your business, your co-workers have a man. Oh, hallelujah. It's time to be that man. It's time to be the man that God uses to assist. Come on, you're not just on your job because there's bills to pay. You're not just at your place of employment because there's obligations. That's a part of it. But God's got you there because he needed a man. Hallelujah. He needs an assistor. He needs somebody on that job that can take people to a miracle. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. I got to move on here. It's getting late. Amen. Some are saying preach and some are saying hurry. Praise God. Those that are saying hurry are whispering it. I can't hear you, but I know you're saying it. No, I'm just teasing. Hallelujah. I'm almost done today. I'm not going to get into everything. I'm almost done today. Hallelujah. There were many recipients at the pool of Bethesda that had a man. Praise God. They weren't at the pool of Bethesda anymore. They're back at home. They're running on the treadmill. Man, they've moved on. They're living life because they had a man. Hey, amen. But back at the pool of Bethesda, there were still some people there. Hey, amen. The man we read about in our text and others, they were still there. They had no man. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm telling you, life can be frustrating sometimes. There's going to be people around you that have political edges. There's going to be people around you that you've built relationships with and you've been in the same boat. You were at the pool of Bethesda. You had the same prayer request. You had the same desire. You had the same dream. Amen. And you've watched them move on in life. You're still in the same boat, but they've moved on in life. They're on the next chapter. They're happy. They're rejoicing. They've gone on. and you're still on the same boat, saying, God, I have no man. There's nobody that can help me. I'm all alone in life. I don't have anybody to pat me on the back and help me get through this and help carry me through this trial. And I don't have the support system that others have. Amen. We can feel isolated in life sometimes, can't we? Praise God, alone. No man. Hallelujah. I believe the lame man, I don't believe he ever gave up running to the pool. He told Jesus, he said, while I am coming. And now I believe that's plural. I don't believe he tried one time. Every time the waters were troubled, he'd get up and drag that paralyzed foot, whatever he had. And right beside him is another one with the same condition, but he's got a man helping him. And they get in front of him and they beat him in the race. Hallelujah. But I don't believe he ever gave up. He kept trying. He said to Jesus, while I am coming, somebody else gets there first. Hallelujah. I don't believe he ever stopped trying, but I believe he got to the place for the worse that my miracle is not going to happen like everybody else's. Amen. There you go. I'm telling you. Amen. Hallelujah. My miracle is not going to be like everybody else's, but God's going to have to do something different for me because I have no man. Hallelujah. And there came a day at the Pool of Bethesda that God showed up. Woo! Jesus walked into his world. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm telling you, the greatest miracle that happened at the Pool of Bethesda didn't even happen in the pool, Sister Worse. The greatest miracle that happened at the Pool of Bethesda wasn't even in the water. But it was right there in the porches with an individual that had no support system. He had no political edge. He had nobody to help him. And that's where the greatest miracle happened. Jesus didn't need the waters. He didn't need the angel. He just spoke the word. I feel like telling somebody. I feel like telling somebody that's frustrated here today, come on. You're saying, God, where's my miracle? Come on, where's my answer? And you're watching others go forward and advance. And they've got connections. And they're in the right political place. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, amen, you can still get your miracle when there is no man. Come on, you can still get your answer. It may take a little longer. Come on. God's an on-time God. He may not come when you want Him. Hallelujah. You may have to wait a little bit longer to get the answer than others around you waited. Amen. But I'm telling you, God will still move when there is no man. Hallelujah. When there is no man. When all there is just a need and there's nobody to help you. God can still help you and give you a miracle. Hallelujah. Man, my heart is stirred right now. Hallelujah. There's a preaching spirit here today. I can take advantage of it. I'm not going to do it. Praise God. I'm telling you, Joseph was in the prison in Egypt, in a strange land, in the dungeon. Nobody knew his name. The Pharaoh didn't know who he was. The Potiphar had forgotten. Nobody even knew he existed. He had no man. But he had a dream and a prayer life. Woo! Hallelujah. Maybe I'm just preaching to me right now. Praise God. I'm going to step on my own toes right here. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm telling you, if all you got is a dream and a prayer life, and there's nobody that can help you get anywhere in life, hallelujah, you just keep on praying and keep the dream alive. Come on, Joseph. Build another altar. There's no man to help you. There's no man to speak on your behalf. Oh, hallelujah. There were men in Pharaoh's ears saying, hey, Pharaoh, I got a son. Boy, he's talented. You ought to put him in a position, a leader, a governor. Man, he'd help your kingdom. And all these other voices in Pharaoh's ears and trying to help somebody. But Joseph had no man. Somebody say, no man. Woo, he had no man. No man cared for his soul. No man was thinking about him. His own dad thought he'd been dead for 13 years. No man cared for his soul. But Joseph had a prayer life and a dream with God. And I'm telling you, God, we know the story. God moved in the dreams and stirred Pharaoh up. And God worked in all kinds of crazy ways to bring Joseph out of the prison and to bring his dreams to pass. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God can still give the miracle. When there is no man. Oh God, why don't we stand here today? Oh, when there's no man. When there's no man. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. The woman with the issue of blood. Man, I'm loaded for bear here today. I just keep on going an hour. Everybody get mad at me or throw something at me. The woman with the issue of blood. She had no man that could go out and bring Jesus to where she was. If she had a brother or a dad or an uncle, they'd have said, hey, you're not in a good condition. You stay here. I'll go get Jesus and beg him to come to the house. Like Jairus' daughter, like the servant of the centurion, many others had a man running the streets. The woman with the issue of blood had no man. There was nobody to help her. Oh, but she got out there on the streets. And she probably had to crawl and push her way. She had no man to say, hey, everybody clear. Amen. Make way for this woman. She needs help today. Hallelujah. All she had was a need and a desperation. All she had a need. What was a need and a frustration. An urgency, a desperation for something to happen in her life. There was no man to help her, but she pressed her way through the crowd. She crawled her way and pushed her way until eventually she was able to reach out and touch the hem of his garment. And Jesus perceived that virtue flowed out of his body. And he said, who touched me? And the disciples laughed at him and said, what do you mean who touched you? There's dozens of people all around you, thronging you right now. Hallelujah. Oh God. Oh, I'm here to tell somebody today, you may feel all alone in the world. There's nobody to help you get out of the valley, out of the struggle. There's nobody to help you financially. There's nobody to support you emotionally. There's nobody to help you get out of the pit and out of the valley and out of the struggle. And you feel all alone in life. I'm telling you, all you need is a hunger for God. All you need is a desire, an urgency, a desperation. And hands that will reach out with everything they've got. Woo! Come on, let's stretch our hands towards heaven right now. Oh, God. Oh, God, we need you today. Oh, God, we serve you today. We bless you today, God. Woo! Oh, God. Come on, somebody help me pray right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. God wants to bless you. God wants to raise you up. God wants to make you a man that makes a difference. Come on, God wants to raise us up to use us. God wants to get us out of struggles, defeat. Come on, God wants us to be the man, the vessel. The prayer warrior. Oh, the child of God. The instrument. Does anybody want to be used to bring revival to people around you? I want to see revival happen around my life. People connected to my life. I want to take people by the hand and bring them to altars and bring them to baptismal tanks. I want to be that man. I want to be an assistor to somebody. Hallelujah. Come on, let's pray right now. Does anybody want to step out of a pew today and come down to an altar? Oh, hallelujah. Come on. Come on. There's a call of the Spirit today. Oh, there's a seeking, a searching. Come on, God said, I sought for a man. God's looking for a man. Come on, God's looking for a man. He's looking for somebody. Woo! God's searching the earth. He's looking, where's the man that can stand in the gap? Come on, he's looking, where's the man that can come out of average? Where's the man that can come out of being like everybody else? Come on, where's the man that's going to come out? Come on, God doesn't want you to be like everybody else around you. God doesn't want you to go with the crowd. He doesn't want you to go with the flow of everybody else. He's looking for a man. He's searching for a man that can stand in the gap and make up the hedge, make a difference, bring revival to your friends and your family, your loved ones. Come on, I'm telling you, it's time to get filled with the Holy Ghost. It's time to get on fire for God. Come on, God wants to set you free. God wants to change your world. God wants to raise you up. He wants to use you. Oh, come on. God was going to bring Joseph out of the prison to use him. Joseph had no man. He had nobody to help him. But God was going to raise him up out of darkness to use him to bring revival, to bring blessings, to make the difference. Hallelujah. Come on, come on, come on. Is there a heartbeat? Oh, is there a heartbeat that the prophet had today when he said, here am I, God, send me. God, I'll live at the pool of Bethesda. Oh, God, I'll live there. Come on, somebody. There ought to be people in our life that we stop by once or twice a week just to keep that contact, just to say hi, and that I love you and I'm praying for you, and I want you to visit my church when you can. Come on, somebody. Come on, where's the assistors that will live at the pool of Bethesda? Woo! God, I want to live at the pool of Bethesda. Help me, God, to get out of my life and my world and my routine and my plans. God, I'll live there. I'll stay there. I want to be at the pool of Bethesda. Oh, God, I want to be used to see somebody else saved and delivered. Oh, God.